ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Chapter 9, text number 32. Maam hi partha vyapashritya
yepisyuh papayonayah
striyo vaishyastatha shudra tepiyanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, or merchants, and shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. In the previous two verses, Krishna was talking about a devotee who accidentally falls down. Such a devotee should be considered a sadhu. So, and one verse before that you see Krishna talking about samoham sarvabhuteshu. So it gradually begins from that point. Where Krishna says, samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshasti na priyaha. I consider everyone to be equal. Just like the sun that gives sunlight to everyone. Or like the rain that gives water for everyone. And then he says, ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaha. But those who become my devotees, they are very special because they have a very unique relationship with me. I consider them very special. So Krishna, from that verse onwards, he introduced the greatness of devotees and how much Krishna loves them. And in order to explain that further, he said, apiche sudaracharo bhajatema ananya bhak. Those devotees of mine who are ananya bhak means one who is engaged in unflinching devotional service. Unflinching devotional service is characterized by three things. One is that a devotee does not worship any other demigod. He does not go to Ganesh, he does not go to Durga, he does not go to Shiva for achieving any material benefits. Rather, he worships Krishna as pinpointed focus. It is called aikantiki bhakti. Eka bhakti vishishyate. This is called as ananya bhakti. So such a devotee takes shelter of only Krishna and not anyone else. And even if you find such a devotee taking shelter of any other devata, that is ultimately for the purpose of coming closer to Krishna. Like the gopi surrendering to Katyayani. Like that. Even Arjuna was ordered by Krishna to go to Shiva and acquire the Pashupatastra. He did that. Like that. This is one. Secondly, a devotee also does not mix up his devotion with karma or jnana. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anabhritam. It is said, no? He doesn't mix up with monistic knowledge. He does not have a suspicion whether Krishna is ultimately impersonal or personal. He doesn't speculate with his brain to understand Krishna. But he accepts the authoritative scriptures which are given by Lord Himself, which are the word of God. He accepts them. So, jnana karma means, or he does not worship Krishna with some ulterior motive. Maybe I will get this, I will get that. He doesn't demand anything from Krishna. This is second thing. And thirdly, jnana karma adhyanapritam. There is one more qualification. This is, I think, said by Baladev Jabushin, I think. I read it somewhere. First, what did I say? First one? He does not surrender to anybody else other than Krishna. Second he says jnana karmadi anavritam. Third he says he wants only Krishna and nothing else, he says. I think that is same as anya abhilashita shunya. Similar to that. He does not have any other abhilasha. He does not have any other aspiration other than achieving or attaining Krishna. So in this way, a devotee is called as ananya bhag, one who is engaged in unflinching devotional service. Such a devotee conquers Krishna's heart and he gets a place in Krishna's heart. And Krishna says in Bhagavatam also that such a devotee is in my heart and I am in the heart of such a devotee. So it's a mutual exchange of love. So in one of the definitions, Bhishma Pitama says that devotional service means not claiming to be loving somebody of this world, but focusing all our love on one object, that is Sri Krishna. Completely focusing all our love and attention on one object, that is Krishna. Of course, when we love Krishna, naturally we love everyone else. But often people claim to be having a divine love in this world for so many people of this world. There are so many attachments and attractions they have. So Bhishma also says that. So this is actually ananya bhag, that a devotee is pinpointed in his attention on Krishna. And such a devotee is an apichet. Apichet means even if. The word apichet shows that such a devotee will never fall down. But even if such a person who is engaging in unflinching devotion, see, this is not talking of a pure devotee. If it is talking of Uttama Bhakta will never fall down. Then how can we say apichet? That means even a neophyte devotee or even a Kanishtha Bhakta or Madhyama Bhakta, even such a person can be unflinching in his devotion, just like all of you. In our stage also, we can decide that I will not worship any devata for any material benefit. I will worship only Krishna. And I will not mix up my bhakti jnana with karma or monastic knowledge. I will accept Srimad Bhagavatam as my ultimate literature. And I will go to Krishna for not any material benefit, but I will only seek pure devotion to Him. So if we make these things the goal of our life, then we can also become unflinching devotee. Even in the early stages. Only we have to be determined to be focused like that. And Krishna says, apichet, such a person, even if he falls down accidentally, due to some reason. Like sometimes such a devotee is very wonderfully progressing, taking steps ahead, progressively. But all of a sudden, due to some overwhelming force of Maya, in the form of some old association, bad association, or something like that, a devotee may get distracted slightly. For such a person, Krishna says, accidentally if he falls down, then he says that he still should be considered a sadhu. He says, such a person should be still considered a sadhu. Why? Because he is ananya bhag. Although he may indulge in sinful activities, two things he says. One is that he sincerely regrets and repents. That why did I fall prey to Maya? Why did I go away from Krishna? At the same time, such a devotee also does not leave devotional service. Although he may fall prey to sin, still he continues chanting, he continues coming in the association of devotees. Even at the cost of being ridiculed by others, even at the cost of being condemned by others, even at the cost of being put to shame in front of others, still such a person returns back to Krishna. He wants to be with devotees. That means there is no breakage in his devotional service. Although he may momentarily fall prey to Maya, he should be considered a sadhu. He says, like that. So, such a person should be considered a sadhu, he said. Then he said, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvachantim nigachati. And then Arjuna asked Krishna this question. How is it, Krishna? Such a person that can be considered a sadhu. Here he says, Chapram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim nikachati. My dear Arjun, consider, understand that such a devotee quickly attains peace because he is reinstated in devotional service. So Krishna doesn't say he will attain. Very soon he will attain peace. He doesn't say that. He says quickly he attains again Krishna consciousness. Again he is reinstated. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. He becomes a Dharmatma very soon. Immediately. He doesn't even say very soon, he says he attains, he becomes Dharmatma immediately. Even if he falls. How is it? Then he says that such a devotee prays, alas, alas, what have I done? I have brought so much disgrace to my Lord, Lord's good name, and the Lord's devotees. And in that fire of repentance, such a devotee's sins are burned to ashes. And in this way his heart becomes completely purified again. And he again becomes engaged in devotional service. Just like sometimes the adversities in a devotee's life may become a you know, in the forging machine they have a, you know, you have seen when they heat the rod, and then the forging rod comes and, you know, hits forging hammer or sledgehammer or whatever, it comes and hits, and then it is shaping the object. Similarly, sometimes the adversities or the accidental fall down in the life of a devotee may become a tool in forging and shaping the life of a devotee, in becoming a better devotee. And then a devotee will never fall prey to Maya's attacks again like that. So he becomes very convinced afterwards. So in this way, he says that such a devotee is reinstated. But then Arjuna asked, my dear Krishna, how can... And then Arjuna is asking another question. Acharya has explained. What if a devotee falls prey to Maya and he doesn't become reinstated and he is still venomous, mischievous, and he is going on with his sinful life? What about such a devotee? Then Krishna says, Kaunteya, he uses the word Kaunteya. He says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashate. He says, Kaunteya means, oh, son of Kunti, you are coming from such a royal family, why do you harbor such doubts in your mind? My devotee never perishes. It is impossible that my devotee will remain like that. It's impossible. I give them protection. My devotee will never perish. You go and declare, he said. So he is saying, so Arjuna actually is asking on behalf of the other people of the world. He says, my dear Krishna, but nobody will believe it. How are the people of the world going to believe in what you say? You are saying that even if a person, devotee becomes religious, still he should be accepted as sadhu. How will the people of the world accept? Then Krishna says, Acharya has explained, that Arjuna, you take the drums and cymbals and all types of instruments, go and play them loudly, let all the people listen to you. And you loudly declare that even such a devotee who falls prey to Maya, he can be considered a sadhu because he is Ananya Bhak. Because even at such a fallen state, he will not take anybody else's shelter. He will again take only Krishna's shelter. And again, he wants to come in the company of devotees, although he may be put to shame. So such a devotee is Ananya Bhak. So he go and declare boldly to the outside world. And then Arjuna asks, what will the people do if I go and declare like that? Then Krishna says, all the sinful people of the world, they will fall at your feet and say, my dear Arjun, you are our guru. Please accept us as your disciple. And in this way, all the sinful people of the world who have committed unlimited sins in the past, they will come and beg you to accept them as your disciple. And they will want to engage in devotional service. In this way, they will become completely purified souls and achieve a very elevated status. So that is what is explained in the next verse, what we discussed just now. So when such a large devotee goes and declares to the world, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Prabhupada, when he went to the west, so he was preaching. So he gives many classes, and many of the classes Prabhupada used to emphasize this point. No matter how much you are fallen, you might have done all kinds of bad activities, but the Lord is ready to give you shelter. You can be anybody. You don't need any qualification. So this verse, what we read just now, it is talking about what is the qualification required to become Krishna's devotee. Krishna says you can be anybody. You can be very fallen. That is why Lord told Arjuna that when you go and declare to the world by playing the drums and cymbals and tell the people of the world that all people come, here is a message from the Lord that you can be fallen to any extent. Somebody says, I have set fire to my house. Somebody says, I killed my brother. Somebody says, I have stolen another man's wife. Somebody says, I looted my father. Just like Aurangzeb. He put his father in the jail and killed his brothers. Even Aurangzeb can come to devotional service if he wanted. Of course, he didn't want to. But even people like that, those who have done all kinds of atrocities, whatever you can imagine, even such people, such souls, the Lord says, if they come and then they see you that you are declaring that Lord's devotee will be protected, no matter how sinful he is, then Lord says they will accept you as a guru and they will take your shelter. And this practically happened when Srila Prabhupada went to the West. People who were hippies, they had committed all kinds of sinful activities. Unimaginable. We cannot even speak of. But they took shelter of Prabhupada because Prabhupada declared to them, here is the message of Bhagavad Gita. And the Lord is telling here that He is ready to give shelter to anybody and everybody without seeing one's caste, creed, color, nationality, language. No, there is no consideration. Anybody can come and accept the Lord's devotional service. So this is the greatness of devotional service, that the path of jnana and the path of yoga, they have lot of demands. Some months ago when we were reading the 6th chapter, immediately Krishna put conditions there. Shucho deshe, you should live in a clean place. Pratishtapya, steram asanam atmanah. There you should sit in a clean place or a holy place. Asanam, you should have asana there. You should have a deer skin or a tiger skin so that the reptiles will not come and bite you. And na uchitam na tinicham. Chailajana kushottaram tatre kagram manakritva yata chittendra kriya. He says that, you know, you should completely focus your mind between your, your eyes should be fixed between your eyebrows. And then you should completely absorb yourself in meditation. You should do pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Very tough. Very difficult requirements are given for this Ashtanga Yoga. Similarly for Jnana Marga also, many, many difficult. Krishna himself says that, Klesho Vajikatarastesham Avyakta Asakta Chetasam. For Jnani, the path of Jnana Marga is very difficult. One has to torture one's mind and senses in order to achieve the Parampadam. Even after that, there is no assurance that one can achieve the Parampadam. Even after so much of torturing one's mind and senses by not eating well, too much of austerity. See, every path of transcendence has some highlight to it. Like for example, if you take the path of a jnani, what is the highlight? Knowledge. Acquiring knowledge by speculation, that is the main for the path of jnani. That means neti neti process. One has to study lots and lots of shastras. Unlimited shastras one has to study. The path of karma, what is the highlight? The path of karma? Yajna dana tapa. Yajna dana tapa. Performing sacrifice, giving charity, and performing some austerities on special festivals and occasions. Like that, going to pilgrimages, holy places like that. And the path of jnana, there is speculative knowledge. The path of yoga, austerities like that. And path of bhakti?
Chanting, feasting, and dancing.
So the qualification required for bhakti is very easy. That is why, if you see the other paths, they put so many conditions, and then even after those conditions, there is no assurance that one will achieve the highest status. Whereas the path of bhakti goes down, 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 even below the patala, goes and it lifts a person, puts a hook, and then elevates him, not to even Swarga, or not even to Brahma Jyoti, but even beyond, to the spiritual world. This is the beauty of the path of devotional service. It can go down to the lowest extent and take a person to the greatest goal, highest goal like that. Like it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulakasha, all these different people, Yavana, Kashadaya. There also he says, Ye Anyecha Papa Yadapashraya Ashraya. So these are all Papa Yonis. All are called Papa. Here also Krishna uses the word Papa Yoni. These are all Papa Yonis. Papa Yoni means somebody who is born sinful. How can somebody be born sinful? According to Shastra, some people have committed such obnoxious activities in the past that in the next lifetime they are given bodies in such wombs. They are born in sinful wombs. In fact, in Bhagavatam, there is a clear categorization. It says that people born in like Greece, people born in Germany, people born, these are called Hunas. So, Kirati means those who are born in Greece, those are Hunas, and all these people in different geographical locations of the world, you have to go overseas to go to those places. They are all considered sinful. And also Shastras give description, Kashadaya means they will have small eyes, they will have small eyes and plumpy face. Yeah, Chinese. As the Prabhupada said, Chinese will be the last ones to come to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada said, anybody who preaches to Chinese people and makes them devotees, Prabhupada said, they will surely go back to Godhead, Prabhupada assured. Even Pakistan also, he said, yeah. So, these geographical locations are already marked in the Vedas, in the Puranas, and they clearly say that these people are all born in Papa Yoni and they will naturally be inclined to sinful activities. You know, eating snakes or cockroaches, it's very natural for them. Yeah, and indulging in sinful habits is very, very natural for them. It's not at all uncommon for them like that. That is the reason the Shastra say that saintly people should not cross the oceans. Brahmanas or sadhus, it is prohibited for them to cross the oceans and go. Because they say that if you go overseas, there are mlechas, chandalas, javanas. So according to the Vedic Varnashrama system, four people are considered to be a part of society. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. And below that, others are not considered as part of society. They are called as outcasts, like mlecha, those who eat beef, and chandala, dog eaters, yavana, and nisharas and many others like that. They are considered to be shapacha, outcasts. They are considered to be outcasts like that. So now, these four people, the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and even amongst them also, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas, they go to the Gurukula, and they learn the Shastras properly and they lead life, and Brahmanas become the head of the society. Often, people argue, especially the modern man argues, why this kind of classification? In the Vedic system means very sectarian. You classify people into classes and you create a fight amongst them. The purpose of classification is not to create a fight amongst the people, but to engage the people according to their natural propensities in their own activities. That is the purpose of the Varna and Ashrama. Everyone. A Brahmana has his duties, Kshatriya has his duties, Vaishya has his duties, Shudra has his duties. So Brahmana, generally one who has the Brahminical qualities, Kshatriya qualities, like the Brahmanas become saintly sadhus, or the Brahmanas become preachers, they are supposed to guide the society. Kshatriyas can become Raja Rishis, we will be explaining in the later verse. They can become also Raja Rishis, they can be saintly kings. But the other two categories, Vaishyas and Shudras, are not considered so elevated for various reasons. Of course, before that, the Papayoni I was telling you, Kirata, Huna, and the Pulinda Prakasha, they come even below these four categories. They are not considered as proper human beings, they are considered as outcasts. But Krishna says, even such Papayoni also can take to devotional service and achieve the highest goal of life, going back home, back to Godhead. It is possible. That is the greatness of devotional service. Devotional service is so potent, like the sun. The sun can absorb urine and not get contaminated. It is so powerful. In the same way, the devotional service also is extremely powerful. The path of bhakti, in fact, path of bhakti is so powerful that even the jnana marga and yoga marga, they take some advantage of the path of bhakti. There is jnana mishrit bhakti, there is karma mishrit bhakti, yoga mishrit bhakti. We studied those verses before, isn't it? Whereas bhakti is totally independent. Bhakti doesn't have to lean on anybody's shoulder on the jnana or yoga or karma or any of these things. Bhakti is totally independent. In fact, if one has bhakti, then without anything else one can achieve Krishna. Krishna is telling Uddhava, I think in the 11th canto, in one of the verses he is telling that these gopis of Vrindavan, they have never travelled to any holy places or any pilgrimage they have never done. Nor have they gone to the Gurukul to study the Vedic education. They have never become learned scholars. But you see, my dear, Though these gopis, simply by associating with me, they developed a spontaneous loving devotion service for me. And because of that, they have achieved the highest status, he says. And they don't need anything else. If one has bhakti, then bhakti itself is independent and supreme and reigns over everything else. And without bhakti, one can go back to Godhead. So, he says, such papa yoni, no problem. Let those people born in papa yoni come to me. That is why Prabhupada crossed the ocean. He went to the west and he preached very boldly. Many of the Indian Brahmanas, they criticized Prabhupada for that. That this Swami has gone out of India and is bringing all lechas and chandalas and giving them sacred thread, making them Brahmanas. And they were actually criticizing many of the Western devotees, many of the Indians, so-called Orthodox Indians and the caste Goswamis. Prabhupada never cared, and Prabhupada preached, and today he has established a worldwide movement with those people. All Prabhupada disciples, the majority of them who are leading our society, they all come from the West, if you see. They all come from various parts of the world. They are leading the whole society today. And they are not only just leading, they are setting example for all of us to follow. Many, many of them. Like that. So, Prabhupada is proving the words of Krishna. Krishna is here saying that devotion service is so great that anybody who takes shelter of me can, even if they are born in such families, they can achieve ultimate perfection. And here, we are seeing that being proved. I can quote from Bhaktirasam Sindhu. There is a nice quote here. See, this is from Padma Purana. He is saying, interesting, Vasishtha is telling in Padma Purana to King Dilip, "My dear king, everyone has the right to execute devotional service, just as he has the right to take early bath in the month of Magh, December, January." If you are taking bath and in the month of December, January, can anybody prohibit your bath? Can anybody come and batter the door and say, "Why are you taking early bath?" So nobody can prohibit you. In the same way, everyone has eligibility to perform devotion service. See, this much freedom is given. And then he is saying, this is from Skanda Puran. In the country known as Mayuradvaj, the lower caste people who are considered less than Shudras are also initiated in the Vaishnava cult of devotional service. And when they are properly dressed with tilaka on their bodies and beads in their hands and on their necks, they appear to be coming from Vaikuntha. In fact, they look so very beautiful that immediately they surpass the ordinary Brahmanas. So these are two quotes, and you can see for many quotes in our Bhakti Sam Sindhu. This is 48, page number 48. Yeah. In the same chapter, you will find many interesting things, quotes like this. Many more quotes to show how people, very, very fallen people, have taken a devotional service and become Paramahamsas. From a very low state, they have achieved a very high status like that. And here he is saying, Striyo Vaishya Sata Shudra. So I was telling about Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Why are Vaishyas and Shudras considered low? Because Vaishyas are always in contact with wealth. And wealth, three things are said. Wealth, land, attraction for opposite sex. These three things, Kamini, Kanchan, Pratishtha, three things you say. These three things are very powerful in deteriorating the intelligence of a man. When one is all the time absorbed in money-making business, then one tends to forget the Lord. One becomes too much absorbed. We will all have this experience when we are working. Often there is always a kind of tug of war. Sometimes you go too much into business or our activities, and then at one time we realize, my Lord, my devotional service is drying up. It's like a parrot is getting choked now inside the cage. I am polishing the cage too much. So I have to now feed the parrot also. We realize, and then you come to devotional service. And then when you become very, very serious, you give a lot of time. Sometimes after a long yatra, you realize, oh, a lot of business is pending now. Big yatra, 20 days yatra now. Now I have to again pick up. So there is a kind of tug of war. So Vaishyas are those who are business people. Their minds are preoccupied with plan making business. How to make money more and more. Idam madhyamaya labdham imam prapsiye manoratham. Manoratham means climbing on the chariot of mind They wander all over the world how to multiply their money more and more, like that. So that is why it's very difficult for such people to fix their mind. So they have to begin purifying their mind by offering their fruits to Krishna, by offering some of their fruits to Krishna. Then that is the stage when their mind starts becoming purified. So there are three stages of devotee, even for somebody maybe a Vaishya also, but there are three stages of devotee said. Sanishta, Sanishta is the lowest, it is said. Sanishta and Patanishta and Nirapeksha, three stages are said. Sanishta Bhakta is one who is doing his business and his mind is preoccupied with his business all the time. Practically morning to night he is thinking of business and money and expansion and going here, going there, all the time absorbed. And then he also offers his fruits to Krishna. Some part of his fruits he offers to Krishna. This is called a Sanishta Bhakta. But then such a bhakta, when he advances more and more, when he goes to a higher stage, he comes to a Pratinishta Bhakta, where he comes to a stage where he is doing his business, just like Gaur Mohande, for example. Gaur Mohande, he also had a cloth business. It said every day he would go to the shop at about 11 o'clock or so, and he would return home by 3 o'clock only. I don't know what kind of business he must have done for 4 or 5 hours. Cloth business. So, of course, if somebody would ask him, "Who are you?" "I am a devotee of Krishna," he would say immediately. "I am a devotee of Krishna, I want to serve Vaishnavas." That was top priority for him. And then, "What do you do? How do you earn your livelihood?" "I have a business also going on." So what happens? The business goes to the background, and the bhakti comes to the front. So this is the second stage. And third stage is called Nirapeksha, means where a devotee does not expect anything in return. He just does want to do devotion service. Everything else he possesses, like manasa, deha, geha, yokichumor, arpilatuva pade, andakesho. My body, my dear Lord, is yours. My mind, my body, my mind, my words, my home, my property, all that I possess, yokichu, chokuchbe mere paas, whatever I have, yokichumor, I offer everything to you. That is the highest stage, nirapeksha. One can live a life like that. Sudama was living a life like that. I don't know what was the business. Anybody knows what business Sudama was doing? I don't know how he lived. Isn't it? So, like Shiva's Thakur. His only business was all the time chanting and dancing and preaching. Clapping hands. Sridhar Kolavech and Haridas Thakur. So now, when we hear these things, immediately we may think, maybe I should become a Nirapeksha Bhakta. So, we don't have to artificially try to become Nirapeksha Bhakta. Krishna will inspire us from within. As we surrender more and more, one should be in the direction of giving one's mind, one's body, one's words, one's whole existence to Krishna service like that. So, in this way, generally, one who is Vaishya, this is talking about from a material viewpoint. When he says Papa Yoni, Vaishya can be considered low class or lower because of all the time counting money, all the time thinking about money. And what about God? My Lord, God is the last thing they want to do. You go to big rich people's house. Sometimes you go, I don't want to mention the name, one big man. He is owner of a company in Pune. So I had sent two brahmacharis to go to his house. Gopal Shamaraja told us that you go and give some prasad to him. It is his child's birthday, you know. So you go and give this garland and give this prasadam box and come. So our two devotees went to the house. There was a huge gate, beware of dogs, and all that. And they were ringing the bell for a long time, and then the watchman opened and, he was trying to kick them out right at the gate only. With much of difficulty, after half an hour of persuasion, they were allowed entry inside. As soon as they went inside, at the cabin only, from there only he called up and asked whether these people can be sent in and all, and he said, no, I am too busy. Now you give them a box of sweets and send them back. So he gave us a box of sweets and he sent us back. Immediately, our devotee is back, yeah. So they don't want. So he wants to know, who is there at the gate? A devotee? No. We have no time for devotion service. And who is there? My client has come. Call him. Welcome. He's my customer. Customer is our God. That's our slogan. Isn't it? Yeah, they make customer the God.
Customer is the king.
Customer is the king, yeah. He will come running to receive him, isn't it? To take him in and greet him because he knows he has some business with them. That is why Vaishyas are condemned here. This is the way average Vaishya is in the world. They don't want to think of God. Rarely, if you had some Sukriti he has done in some lifetime, he may go to Tirupati Balaji, put some money and come. They become really sometimes afraid when they come to temple also, devotees, when some devotees approach and ask, would you like to chant Hare Krishna until they run away? He's saying during business don't talk of God. Actually also they fear that sometimes if you become very God conscious, you'll become weak in business and all. People have such wrong notions and all. People feel that this is time to earn, let me earn like that. Similarly Shudra he is telling, because Shudras are very unclean. Ashuchi Vrata. Krishna is talking about what is it was? Where he talks about Nashaucham, Napi Chachar, Nasatyam Teshu Vidyate. They are very unclean with the habits. Prabhupada saw when he went to the West, he saw people, Western people are very unclean. Often the Western culture is seen to be very clean. Companies are kept spick and span, so we think they are very clean. But if you take a closer look, you can see how unclean they are. I was telling once, they use tissue paper, they don't use water for cleaning their bodies. Like in Indian culture, in Vedic culture, if you take a bath, if you pass through, you should immediately take a bath. Isn't it? Like when we dress the deities of the Lord, you know how clean we are supposed to be. Our body should be clean. We have bhuta shuddhi first, we do before entering. So, cleanliness is not there. And also telling lies. Sometimes they may tell lies. Unclean. So they are considered low class and they never go to Gurukul to get the training. They are stooped in sense gratification. So this kind of lifestyle of a Shudra, irregulated lifestyle. So they are considered low class. And what to speak of studying the Shastra? Impossible. They cannot even understand anything. They cannot speak Sanskrit in a, they cannot speak Spashta Sanskrit. They cannot have proper pronunciation of Sanskrit. So, Brahmanas are supposed to have high class pronunciation and the learning of Sanskrit, learning of the Shastra, be able to remember, hold in their memory and repeat the Shastra and verses and everything. But Shudras here, what is their qualification to study the Shastra? Or, even if they cannot understand Shastra, even if they go and have to sit and listen to Shastra, the philosophical subject matters are very subtle for them to understand. It doesn't get across their heads. It's very difficult. Just like, if a scientist goes to a Sabjiwala and tells him that, we are planning to send the VLSI, such and such a rocket, to Mars, very soon it will be up in the sky. Sabjiwala will say, my prices are rocketing. My prices are going high. He will think like that. He will always think in terms of business. And think in terms of, Sankuchit. Their mind is very narrow. They cannot think broadly. Actually, as you go higher, from Shudra to Vaishya to Kshatriya and Brahmana, as you go higher and higher, they are supposed to become more and more broad-minded. Like Shudra, for example, he thinks, first goal of my life is to fill up my belly. That's all. Not even my relatives and friends. They come later. First I have to fill up my belly. And I have to satisfy my own senses. I should have a place to sleep, place to rest, fill up my belly. Comfortable, selfish, totally. And then, next, maybe relatives, friends, I have to do something to them like that. He cannot see like that. And if you go higher and higher, like Kshatriya gives protection to so many people. He may be ruling a country. And a Brahmana gives guidance to Kshatriya, which is even more important. With a proper guidance, a whole country can be ruined. And beyond this four is considered a Vaishnava, who is considered the greatest even beyond a Brahmana like that. Similarly, Krishna is also adding Striyo Vaishya, Striyo also, woman also is adding. This is a very hot topic. In the modern time, one lady, she wrote recently a letter. It appeared in VNN. She wrote a letter against Prabhupada, saying that Prabhupada was a great acharya. Of course, I agree with him. But, even he is also, after all, a human being, He has committed he also has four defects and all. So, he has written some purports which cannot be agreed upon. We cannot agree because he has criticized women
Prabhupada says that, you know, in some places Prabhupada says women are less intelligent, or Prabhupada says that, you know, women are also included along with Vaishyas and Shudras. So she wrote a very fantastic letter, and then Umapati Swami, you know, wrote a counter letter which came also. So he explained that not only Prabhupada, you say you are actually criticizing Prabhupada, that Prabhupada is talking of women like this. But even Krishna is saying that Sriyo Vaishya Sata Shudras. That means you have to criticize Krishna also. Why he is categorizing like that? So he wrote a very long letter like that. So in the essence of the letter, he tried to explain that from material viewpoint, we all have to accept that we have different types of psychophysical natures. If you are a child, if you are a woman, if you are a man, if you are a tiger. Now if you tell a tiger that you are too passionate, he becomes angry with you. Why are you saying I am passionate? Because he is passionate. Isn't it? Similarly, Kshatriya is in passion. If you tell a Kshatriya that you have passion, he can't deny that. Similarly, Brahmana is in goodness. Similarly, a Vaishya is in mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And a Shudra is in ignorance. Similarly, the Shastras say that the woman's psychophysical nature is so created that she is gullible by nature. She can be easily cheated by anybody. And also, as it is explained in the chapter, Diti Vows to Kill Indra, that is a very nice chapter in the sixth canto. It is explained there that women, like children, are fond of accumulating many things and organized. Just imagine, if a boy is living alone, he is not yet married, he is going to get married. You go to his house and see, everything is littered here and there, paper is thrown here, chappals are thrown there, whole house is dirty, everything. And there is now nothing to see, all walls are empty. But you come to know that he has got married, just go after a month to his house. What will you find? Immediately you will find a showcase, some dolls will be arranged there, You have seen that? You go to any home, you can...
Experience.
So there is show things arranged very nicely. Things are kept in order, everything is all clean, and pictures are put up everywhere, very organized and things like that. Because a woman takes joy in organizing such things, accumulating things and organizing things. She likes that very much. And they are very much compared, women are compared to children, very much. The psychology, psychophysical nature of woman and children are very similar, the Shastras compare like that. So five people, woman, children, old people, cow and the brahmanas. These five are considered as weaklings. Physically, they are considered weaklings and they need protection, according to Shastra. Of course, in the modern times, there are so many people arguing against it, saying that, what do you say, women need protection. We can study, we can get very good ranks, we can get good jobs, we can stand alone on our own legs, we don't need anybody. They are proving also, they have Mahila Mandal, so many things are going on everywhere like that. Of course, you can stand on one leg, or you want to stand on two legs, you can stand. But the point is, physically we are weak. We cannot deny that. They need protection. You will see that women who try to be alone, they always become an object of exploitation in society. You ask any woman working in an office, you ask her whether she has no problems. You will see that always she has to be very much careful about the kind of onslaught of her boss and her colleagues, the way they will treat her. It's not like treatment of a man and man. See, man and man treatment and man and woman treatment is not the same. They are harassed in various ways. They are done emotional blackmailing and many, many different types of things like that. So here, what Krishna is saying here is, in this particular context, is that woman in general, from material viewpoint, are said to have difficulty comprehending the Vedanta Sutra, Vedas, Upanishads and all that. It is difficult for them to comprehend the difference between Sat and Asat, matter and spirit. It is difficult for them to hear philosophical lectures. They will go to sleep. Once Parvati was hearing from Shiva, isn't it? She went to sleep. But then Shiva was going on telling Bhagavad Katha, somebody was saying, go ahead. Somebody was telling. And all of a sudden he turned towards Parvati's side and saw she was sleeping. He was wondering, You are not hearing. Who is saying? Who was saying that? Shuka Parrot was saying that. That's just a long story. Anyway, Shiva became angry because it was confidential knowledge. Nobody is supposed to hear, and here somebody else was hearing. He took his trident and started chasing this parrot. And the parrot later on flew and entered into the mouth of Vyasadeva's wife. And then it remained in the stomach, and then it was Shukadeva Goswami. Later on Shukadeva Goswami was born like that. So it is, in general it is said, women, they hate philosophy. They like pastimes. They like Puranas, it is said. See, I am telling from a material viewpoint. There are some devotees sitting here who are very philosophical. There are some Matajis who are extremely philosophical. They can speak philosophy better than men. You'll know that. And they are giving classes also. So, but in general, from material viewpoint, it is said that the male body is offered with such a psychophysical nature that they can discriminate between matter and spirit very easily, and they can appreciate philosophical subject matters. And such a man is supposed to become fixed up in the path of wisdom and guide his wife also. It is said, husband should be fixed in spiritual platform and wife should be a chaste follower of the husband. Then it is considered a good match according to the Vedic life. Like that. And here Krishna says, but such woman or Vaishya or Shudra, whoever it be, they don't need any qualification at all if they come to devotional service. All they need to do is simply to chant and perform devotional service. They can attain me. They can surpass everything. And they can achieve the highest status. A practical example of this is the gopis of Vrindavan. In the Bhagavatam 11th canto, there is a very nice verse about Yashodamayi. It says, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is glorified in the Vedas and Upanishads and Puranas as the ultimate being and the ultimate shelter of everything that be, such a Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered to be her own small child by Mother Yashoda. Such is the greatness of Mother Yashoda. Like that it is glorified in Bhagavatam. So Yashodamayi treated Krishna as her own child. Similarly, the gopis of Vrindavan attain the highest status in devotional life. So much so that Krishna told Uddhava, who was a student of Brihaspati, a great scholar, he told Uddhava to go and learn devotional service from gopis of Vrindavan, like that. So Shastras, on one hand, put the women on this platform. On the other hand, Prabhupada explains in the Kunti Maharani's section that the women have one specific qualification which a man lacks. A man, in his psychophysical nature, has a rational tendency towards everything. And sometimes that rational tendency becomes a great disqualification in surrendering to the Supreme Lord. In the name of being rational, a man is inching, inch by inch, trying to understand, and practically he is not making any progress. Whereas a woman, Prabhupada says, as soon as a woman goes to a temple, she sees the deities, and at once she falls on the ground and offers obeisances. She at once surrenders to the Almighty Supreme Lord, accepting His supremacy like that, without reservation. You will see that women, when they come to temple, they bring some flowers to offer to the Lord, they bring some fruits, they offer obeisances, they want to cook for the Lord. They have a very natural tendency of rendering service. Actually, they render service to the husband and children also. But that tendency of service, they doubted it in the Lord's service very easily. Because of which they achieve an elevated status very quickly. Papa says that in the Kunti's section. So Kunti Maharani is saying that Katam Pashyema Mahistriya, she is saying, my dear Lord, you are actually achieved by Paramahamsas. Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidanatam Katam Pashyema Mahistriya. She is saying, Krishna, you are supposed to be understood by Paramahamsas and great rishis and munis whose core of the heart is thoroughly clean. You are supposed to be understood by them. How can a stri like me can understand you? How can a woman like me can understand you? But she has understood Krishna by devotional service, by this vipashritya, by taking shelter of Krishna. She has understood devotional service. So anybody can understand Krishna. That's the beauty of devotional service, that it can bring one to the highest status. So from a spiritual viewpoint, Prabhupada says there is no difference. See, Prabhupada, first sentence Prabhupada writes, it's clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between the lower and higher classes of people. In the material conception of life, there are such divisions. But for a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are no divisions, he's saying. So Prabhupada is saying here that there is no difference between a man and a woman, or a Brahmana and Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and all these people, if they become devotees. In order to prove this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he deliberately, purposefully planned out in such a way that he made low class people into devotees. Like you will see, he took a Shudra and a governor of Madras. Who was he? Ramandrai. And made him speak the most, topmost platform of religion, especially the relationship of Krishna and the gopis, conjugal love. He made him speak that. In fact, Ramandrai told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are asking me to speak this, what is my qualification? You are a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a dvija, he was born in a Brahmana family and he was also a sannyasi also. At the highest order, he was lying among sannyasis. And he is asking Ramanandrai, who was a Shudra and a Grihastha and a governor. So, he told him to speak about the highest truths. And then Ramanandrai spoke and he said, my dear Lord, my tongue is like a string of an instrument, like a veena string. Like, you know, if you are playing veena, some people play veena very sweetly. So, who should be given the glory when somebody plays veena? One who is playing, isn't it? Player, otherwise veena will be just silent. It cannot produce any sound. Similarly, he said, my dear Lord, you are making me speak all these wonderful things. I have no qualification, he said. But the Lord wanted to show the world that one may be a Shudra, one may be a Grihastha, one may be a governor of Madras, governor of any place, counting money and managing elephants and horses and ministers and people and all that. All that I am surrounded by people talking about money, talking about problems of the country and everything. Even such a person, if he takes to devotional service, he can be elevated to the highest of status. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also empowered Haridas Thakur and made him Namacharya. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. And purposefully Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made him a Krishna's devotee and declared him to be Namacharya. Namacharya means Acharya of the holy name. He didn't make a Brahmana. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, he would have taken the highest class Brahmana, like Advaita Acharya for example. He's a high class Brahman. He would have called him and made him the Namacharya if he wanted. Purposefully he made Haridas Thakur as Namacharya, so that to let the world know that even one who is born in a Muslim family can be elevated to the stage of a Namacharya. Like that, the Lord did that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, you will find always Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Naham Bipro, Nachana Rapate, Napi Vaishya Nashudra, this is a very nice verse, where he declares that I have only one identity. Naham Bipro, Nachana Rapate, Napi Vaishya Nashudra, Naham Barani, Natagrihapate, Novanasto Yatirva, Kintu Prodhan Nikila Paramananda Purnamritabdir, Gopi Bartu Patakamalayor, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. He's saying, Naham Vipro, I am not a Brahmana, Na Narapatir, I am not a king, I am not Kshatriya, king, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Shudra. Then he says, I am not a Grihastha, I am not a Vanaprastha, I am not a Sannyasi, I am not a Brahmachari, I am not any of these Varanas or Ashramas. You may wonder, if you don't fall in all these eight, then who are you? Then he says, Kintu Prodhya Nikila Paramananda, Purnamritabdir, Gopi Parthupada Kamalyor. That Supreme Personality of God is Sri Krishna. Who is the master of the gopis, who gives shelter to gopis. I am servant of the servant of the servant of his servants. Like that he is saying. That is my only identity. So in this way, he is glorifying the gopis and revealing his true identity. That is identity of everyone in this world. Everyone, the true identity is that we are Krishna's servants, servant of Krishna's servants. But externally we may wear the garb of a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or Vaishya Shudra. Or even if you have qualification, if somebody is scholarly, then that scholarship can be used in Krishna service. Somebody is having, like in the next verse, we can complete that. He's saying, text number 33. Kim puna brahmana punya bhaktara jarshayastata
anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvama.
How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. So he is saying, in the previous verse he talked of striyo, vaishyas, tatha, shudras. They all can attain. And then he is saying, how much more it is of the righteous brahmanas and the devotees, the saintly kings, rajarishis, all these people are considered high class. Very high class, because they are constantly in touch with the Lord. Like Arjuna is a rajarishi, Parishit Maharaj, Yudhishthira, great saintly, Ambarish Maharaj, great saintly kings. Similarly, brahmanas like Sudama Vipra, great brahmanas, the great devotees. What to speak of them? They all are constantly in contact with, like Prabhupada uses the word, one should completely attach oneself to the bosom of the Lord, Prabhupada says. That one should keep oneself very close to the heart of the Lord. So they all are very, very close to Krishna's heart. We say this prayer now. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. So they are very dear to Krishna, these people. So Krishna has already given them a reserve ticket back home, back to Godhead for such people. So what to speak of them, he is saying. Similar verse is there in Bhagavatam also. It says, Ato, what is it? Aho bata shapachoto gariyan yajyahu vagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvasasnudarya brahmana churna magrinantiyete. What is that, another verse? Very nice verse. Similar verse, one verse before this. These two verses talk about one born in a Chandala family or a Shapacha family. This is a very similar meter. Similar to Aho Bhata Shapacha, very similar to that. Anyway, that verse also says, it says that Kim Punaste Bhagavan Darshanat. It says. That is the last line of the verse. It says, I am remembering from the reverse order. This is the last line. Kim Punaste Bhagavan Darshanat. And then the line before that, it says that Savanaya Kalpate. It says that such a person who is a Shapacha, Shwadopi Sadhya, Savanaya Kalpate, Kim Punaste Bhagavanu Darshanat. Even if one is a Shwada, Shwada means a dog eater, Chandala. He is born in a Chandala family eating dogs. Even such a person, if he is doing what he is doing, that is explained in the previous, that he is doing recitation of the holy name, chanting of the holy name, remembering the Lord, bowing down to the Lord, and in this way he is performing devotional service to the Lord. Such a person, even if he is born in a Chandala family, he can sit in front of the yajna and perform yajna like a brahmana. He deserves that. He has that ability now by performing devotional service, he says. And then he says, Kim punaste Bhagavan Darshanat. What is because of Lord's devotees who have seen the Lord face to face? What state they will attain? He is such a shwada, chandala, he is given such a status simply by chanting the Lord's name even once. He says, Yat jihva agre vartate namatubhyam. Jihva agre means the tip of the tongue of such a person, and the Lord's names are being recited. Such a person is very glorious, it says. Glorifies. Similarly, here also he says, Kim Purad Brahmana Punya. What to speak of the pious beings like great Brahmana and the Rajarishis and such people? They are sure to attain the destination, ultimate destination of association of the Lord. But then, very interesting thing Krishna says, Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvama. Whole purport Prabhupada is talking of that only. Anityam Asukam Lokam. This material world is a temporary place. It is a miserable place. So Prabhupada is saying, now you may say, I am a Brahmana and he is a Shudra. You may say that. But these differences, how long do they last, my dear friend? You can ask. That last only as long as you are in the world. Very soon you are going to die. It is Anitya Lokam. It's Asuka Lokam. So don't be proud of your high caste or having lot of money or having any beauty or such opulences. Don't be proud of them. They all are going to so very soon vanish. Because it's Anitya Lokam. Very soon wind up from this world and return back home, back to Godhead.
He's saying here, you see, in this material world there are classifications of people, but after all this world is not a happy place for anyone. It is clearly stated here, anityam asukam lokam. This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any sane gentleman. Like the Prabhupada explains. So, in the next para he explains, Arjuna was born in a saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back home, back to Godhead. No one should remain in this temporary world full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that he can be eternally happy. So here Prabhupada is giving a kind of warning that you may be born in a royal saintly family, Brahmana family, but don't be proud and don't get stuck up in the material world. He's saying. Of course, in the previous verse he said, Shudra can come to me, Vaishya can come to me, Sri can, anybody can come to me, but what about Brahmanas? They shouldn't become proud, huh? Like those Yajnik Brahmanas who became proud, huh? And they shouldn't get stuck up here. So Prabhupada is saying, everyone should try to go back to Godhead. Why? Because it is Anitya Lokam, Sasukha Lokam. It's a place which is temporary and full of misery. So, he says that, Bhajaswamam, he's ordering Arjuna, Bhajaswamam, you just do my bhajan and you come back to me. And how to do that bhajan? That he will tell in the next verse. That we will discuss next week and we will conclude the 9th chapter. Hare Krishna.
Krishna is trying to glorify bhakti or say that even Kriya and Vaishya can take up, but Jnanyoga and Jnanyoga, they cannot easily take up.
Yeah?
Trying to glorify that even fallen, those like Kriya and Vaishya,
they can take up, yeah.
Easily take up bhakti yoga, that's the greatness of bhakti yoga.
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
Otherwise, Jnanyoga, Jnanyoga, they are so difficult.
Yeah, correct. For these people, Jnanyoga and other, those yogas are out of question. Like, you know, like the Jnanis, they say that only sannyasis. They don't allow anybody else. Like Maya, there are some Mayavadis where they entertain only sannyasis. They don't preach only. They have no preaching. They say that if you are a mumukshu, you come. That is mumukshu. Mumukshu means you already identify that I am suffering cycle of birth and death and I want to leave everything and I want to become sannyasi. Then they will admit you. How many people will come like that? It is only Vaishnavas who take compassion and preach and bring people to Krishna. Yeah, like Ramanuja sir. Yeah. Brahmanas, old people, women, children, and cows. Yeah. Actually, what I spoke here today is only a small fraction of what we have spoken about women a lot. If you read from Prabhupada's purport, you will know. In one of our study circles, we are speaking very elaborately about that. Actually, we have to see these things in a very detached way. We have to put ourselves outside a point, out of our own body, and see, this is man's psychology, woman's psychology. Like man, we also criticize man. Man is having a male ego. Man has masculine nature. He's very dominant. He's rational. And same way, woman has certain psychophysical nature. So you can ask other devotees. They'll tell you more what it is.
To whom?
Oh. Yeah. Now she is saying, for a woman it is difficult to understand devotion service, and if a woman serves her husband very nicely, she proposes, she gets man's body and then she becomes a devotee like that. Now actually in the Pada Bhakti, if a woman does devotion service, she doesn't have to take on man's body again at all. She can directly go, like Kunti Maharani for example. She was a woman, she became a pure devotee. Like that there are many women who are pure devotees. You can name some of them. Like Janava Devi, Mirabai, yeah. Isn't it? Kunti Maharani, Draupadi, yeah. Yeah? Yes, you have a name? Draupadi, yeah. Gopis, yeah. So many thousands of copies. There are many, many like that. So there is, I have never read that in the path of devotional service. It may be with other paths, but as far as devotional service is concerned, I have never read that a woman has to take on another body as a man and then they get. Prabhupada generally says, Prabhupada generally says that if somebody has acquired a woman's body, as I was telling from material viewpoint, they may be very eager for accumulating things. They may be very... See, some women are chaste, but they are not devotees. Isn't it? So they have to go to the same destination where the husband goes. If the husband goes to heaven, they will also go to heaven. Next life, they take a man's body, which is fit for, you know, learning shastra and things like that. But one is a devotee, then you are acting on a platform of soul directly. You are neither a woman nor a man or anything like that. Yeah. She is saying they have emotional qualifications that can be used in Lord's service. Yeah.
Loudly.
Yeah. No, not all of them. Not all of them. She is saying that the gopis have done a lot of tapasya in the past life. That's how they achieved their status now. It is true with certain gopis. There are Rishichari gopis, Munichari gopis. There are many different types of gopis. Some of them are just children of demigods. Some of the gopis. Like that. Huh? Some of the Nityasiddhas also in that. Yeah. Some of them had even impurity also in their hearts. But then, when Krishna played on his flute, they could not go because their relatives were stopping them. And then meditating on Krishna's form, remembering him in their heart, they left their bodies. And they became completely purified. It is said like that. Yeah. Huh? Oh, very much. Like for example, we are studying, we are now following the path of devotional service. Say sometimes you are travelling in a train or a bus, some Mayavadi comes and sits by your side and you don't know that he is a Mayavadi. You are trying to preach to him. And then he starts telling you many, many strange things. You know, he says that, you know, you are telling one sloka and then he tells another meaning of the same sloka, which you have never heard before. And then he tells you this is the actual meaning. Then you start getting doubts whether what Prabhupada is saying is right or what he is saying is right. He may start getting doubts like that. So sometimes one can be swayed by Maya. Like one Swarup Damodar was hearing from Bhagavan Acharya, isn't it? No, he said no. So there is a Maya with the mixture sometimes. So then we may also have a little doubt whether the personality of Godhead is supreme or impersonal Brahman is supreme. So many people are saying impersonal, Nirakar is supreme. Maybe it may be true, you know. So as long as we have that doubt, that means we are jnana-mishrit. Our bhakti is not pure, it is jnana-mishrit. Similarly, yoga-mishrit means one doesn't have complete faith in devotion service. One feels that, you know, I need some other method to control my mind and senses. You know, it is not enough simply to only do chanting Hare Krishna. You know, I should do some pranayam, you know. I should do some yogasanas. I should follow some yam niyam also. You know, and I should read some other books also, like Raja Yoga book and all, how they do meditation. So let me first control my senses and mind and then maybe I can do business. We have a yoga mishra, tendency is there. In Sri Vaishnavas also there are many yoga mishra bhaktas like this. Iyengar Institute is there. They are all very, Sri Vaishnavas. Some Sri Vaishnavas, they also do Ashtanga Yoga, along with that they do bhakti also. So yoga mishra bhakti. Yeah, like that. So we can have jnana yoga mishra also. Karma mishra means while doing devotion service many times, he tells Krishna, please kindly Krishna, I know that you know everything, what I need. I hope that you will fulfill. No. If you don't know, I will tell you. No. Even after spending many years, sometimes we secretly go and reveal our wishes to Krishna. Yeah, these are my wishes. Probably you are unable to detect them in my heart. I will give you the information. Yeah, I have karma wishes. We have some aspirations for material benefits. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there is no jnana karma. It's only bhakti, yeah. Yes. Of course, there is another jnana which is called as bhakti jnana. That jnana is essential. Bhakti jnana is actually sambandha jnana. The jnana in bhakti will take us close to Krishna, help us understand Krishna better. Whereas the jnana we are talking about is monistic jnana, impersonal jnana, which is condemned. Purusha is Krishna and we all are Prakriti. Yes. So Mataji is giving some satisfactory statements for all Matajis. She is telling that all of us are Prakriti. Whether you may be in a male body, don't be proud. You are also Prakriti. She is reminding all of us. Krishna is the only Purusha. Yes, we agree. Yes. Atma is Prakriti. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Janav Devi is
yours.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Actually, he is asking that in Chaitanya Leela we hear about Swara Damodar Amanand Rai and Shikimaiti, who are the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we don't find any prominent Matajis being spoken in Chaitanya Leela. Yeah, but we don't hear anything about her.
So what is her exact role in
being no, she is called as a half associate only because she cannot have very close association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sannyasi. Yeah, but we can find out, actually I don't know Chaitanya Leela so much, but in Chaitanya Leela we can find out why is she considered one of the parshad, one of the associates. Like we have this Panchatattva, they are all called as parshad. Same way, why are these three considered intimate associates, we have to see. Why? They have the mission and heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is saying. Yes, naturally they can't associate, yeah. So, but he is saying that the associates are carrying the heart and mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lakshmi ji, she is also Lakshmi. Yeah, before sannyas, he was married to Vishnu Priya, who is also Lakshmi ji. Yeah. One last question, yeah, yes. Yes. He is asking how the people who are outcasts, how can they get attracted to devotion service? It's a very deep question. Actually, who becomes outcast? You know who becomes outcast? Somebody who has performed some terrible sin in the past life. You know, they only become outcast, isn't it? But although they might have performed some sin, if they had some association of Lord's devotee in the previous life, and they had little bit of company, even if they are born in outcast family, again they become hooked to devotion service in the next life. See, you see, Bharata became a deer in the next life, right? So that is even worse than an outcast. He was a devotee, but he performed some sin, due to which he became a deer. No? But then, because of performing devotion service, he again became attracted to devotion service, even in a deer's body. What to speak of being an outcast body? Like Guha, for example. Guha was actually in Nishada's body, but he was a great devotee of Ram. Jataya also, yeah. That means they have become outcast because of some serious sin in the previous life. But that doesn't get destroyed. Like she rightly pointed out, potency of bhakti is not destroyed. The bhakti goes with us in the next life. And due to that bhakti, now they become attracted. Like that. We can continue on next week's lecture. You will remember the question? Okay, tell the question, we all will remember it. Only question. Yeah. Actually, he is saying Lord Ram worshipped Shiva. A devotee never worshipped. Lord Ram is Lord Ram, no? He is not ordinary Jiva. Actually, for Lord Ram, Shiva is his greatest devotee. So he can glorify his devotee by worshipping, or he can ride the chariot of Arjuna and serve him in that way. It's certainly possible. And also, even Krishna worships many demigods. It's coming in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to set an example for the common people, that he was doing yajna in one place, he was doing dan, giving charity to people, you know, he was worshipping the devatas. You read the chapter on Krishna's daily activities. So, worshipping demigods is appreciated for a common man, yeah. Worshipping demigods is appreciated very well for a common man, but not for Krishna's devotee, especially one who wants to become pure devotee. If you are aspiring to become Krishna's pure devotee, then you have to be pinpointed. Or if you want to get some material benefits, Krishna will give also. Like, you know, Duryodhana wanted Narayana Sena, take it. Arjuna wanted Krishna, Krishna said, take me, you know. So we have to check whether we want Krishna's energies or we want Krishna. We have to make the choice. If you want Krishna's energies, Krishna will give that also. Yeah. Actually, many people come to devotional service with various ulterior motives. As soon as they get that, they remain satisfied. They don't get ahead. Yeah. Let them say that, you know, these are not ordinary things to understand. You know, these things require, first of all, like, you know, you can say Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, it is said, right? Who is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu? So he is anywhere Shastra saying that Shivananam, Shaivanam Yatha Vishnu or Yatha Ram. Is it saying anywhere? Amongst the Shaivites, the topmost Shaivite is Lord Ram. Is it saying anywhere? Shaivanam Yatha Ram. It doesn't say that anywhere. But Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Amongst the Vaishnavas, Shambhu is the topmost. So you can know who is the Lord and who is the devotee. We know very well. But if common people argue, actually, first of all, devotion service is not understood on a platform of argument at all. It requires some amount of initial faith and appreciation and everything. It takes time. People ask, you can say that Lord Ram is the Lord and Shiva is his devotee, and Lord Ram is actually glorifying his devotee by offering worship. Like Krishna is riding the chariot of Arjuna. Arjuna doesn't become God by sitting on the back, you know. So we know that very well. We can give such examples. Yeah. That watch him. Hare Krishna. So next week we'll conclude the chapter with Manmanabha Madhbhakta. Very nice verse.